Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe not playing their best baseball. Is that a fair spot to start here? Maybe not playing their best version of themselves? Because, yeah, it hasn't been great. Dropping to 2-4, the 5-2 loss today to the Padres, in which really the word surrounding them, I feel like, is pretty simple. Right? We're going to talk about where this team's at in the rotation. We can talk about where they are in several different spots. But can we just start with the fact, where is the offense? The offense has gone to sleep. In the big moments when they need to step up, clutch hitting has been about as bad as it gets. I mean, in the key parts of the game where it really feels like you have momentum, especially in this series in particular against the Padres, right? We go back to last night's game and we can look at the first game in the series. I think it was last night's. It's now all blending together for me. Should have been a balk, ended up being a runner interference at third that then caused Austin Hedges to be out at second.
That was last night.
Yeah, okay, last night. Like I said, we're six games into the season, and somehow I've watched two full baseball games that were each 3 days apiece. But it just felt like, okay, that was a moment that I believe wholeheartedly should have been called a balk. I don't know. You have to disengage from the back of the mound when you make a pickoff move to an unoccupied base. You have to step off the very back of the mound. Didn't happen. Terrible call. We can leave it at that. They're going to happen throughout the season. But it's from the big moments where you have runners in scoring position, and then the offense, again, just fails to show up time after time, again and again. The Guardians put up two runs today. There were multiple instances where they had less than two outs and runners in scoring position. You have to find a way to bring in more runs and get a little bit of a momentum building for the offense. And listen, today you were hitting off of Dylan Cease, good pitcher, very solid. And by when the year's all said and done, you'll look at him as one of the better pitchers probably in the NL this year, and you give you the tip of the cap. You faced him a handful of times. A few guys on this roster have faced him a handful of times from his time with the White Sox. But they were just, we were 2-for-8 today with runners in scoring position. Carlos Santana came up with a hit. Gabriel Arias came up with a hit. You just can't rely on that to be the only production you have. And by the way, the two guys who came up with hits today with runners in scoring position, neither of them drove in the run, right? It was just a single that then advanced two. Nobody got scored off of those two. It was RBIs from Kyle Manzardo today. That was basically that and Lane Thomas, but you were driving guys across. It was not necessarily hitting in the key moments. There were too many instances today where you're up and you either have to sacrifice a run for an out, and then you just don't capitalize for the rest of the inning. It feels like the Guardians, while they end the day with eight hits, only scoring two runs, you've put yourself in a spot where you can't chain them together. It feels like runs can't get changed together, and you're not capitalizing on mistakes that teams are making for you. Right? The way that we saw the Padres capitalize on a mistake today, that you look at for the Guardians, you're like, what are you doing? Daniel Schneeman making a random throw to home that had no business being made. But the offense is really, but the Padres in this case, by the way, then obviously Jackson Merrill decides to put a ball over the wall, and it's a four-run inning for the Padres that the Guardians couldn't surmount from there. That could have been the end of the game in the third inning, and it wouldn't have mattered what the Guardians did because he only scored two. It is a constant battle between this team having a problem with hitting runners in scoring position. You're going into rotational issues. You have a poor defense behind you, which isn't even a poor defense. It's just a defense that's making just brain fog type of plays where I have no clue what's happening. And listen, we're six games into an MLB season, okay? We can react as if this isn't less than 5% of the year. But again, it is sort of it's a point where you look at it and you say, okay, I'm not just reacting to the fact that there's six games down and you're off to a slow start. It's the fact of when you look in the big picture, and I need this team to be in clutch hitting scenarios and doing their best, and I need that to come from somewhere because this team, as it stands right now, has no power bat. Right, Kyle Manzardo, you're hoping to be a power bat. You're hoping that he's going to continuously put balls over or right field walls across the stadiums across the league. But you don't know that. We're just banking on it. If Kyle Manzardo goes to sleep for 2 months throughout the season and hits a giant slump, I can tell you that it might surprise me a little bit, but I can also tell you I don't have anything to indicate that it won't happen. With Carlos Santana, I can pretty much guarantee you're going to hit me close to 20 home runs. You're going to probably hit somewhere in like the 240 range. Okay. I know because I have data to show me time after time again. That's what you've done for the last 3 years. It's what you've done really across your career. You've been so utterly consistent that I have that in front of me. I have the proof of that. I have no proof that Kyle Manzardo is going to step up. I have no proof that Jonkenzie Noel is going to step up. But the Guardians lack a serious power in the lineup, and it's clearly shown early where teams are capitalizing, aka the Padres this series. This entire series could have been built off the long ball and capitalizing on mistakes. It is a lineup that, just like in the Yankees series from an ALCS, you look at and you say, "Ooh, would it be a mistake here to pitch to Juan Soto?" Yeah, probably. And you pitch to him and he punishes you. Those are the moments where it's like, that's a good offense. That's an offense that can hurt you from top to bottom. The Padres are very similar. Now, hey, the Guardians don't have to be star-studded from top to bottom to be a good team. We saw that last year. You have good pieces, but they're not stars. They're not guys that you look around the entire league and go, yeah, he's going to be somebody that's going to be an MLB All-Star and going to be on this team for 10 years. It's like, yeah, that guy stepped up this year. He walked onto the roster this year. But that's the difference. I need Jose Ramirez and I need Stephen Kwan to be great in the moments where you need them, and both of them had a hit today, right? You're 2-for-4 if you're Jose, you're 1-for-4 if you're Kwan. But I also need random guys to step up then day after day if you're going to play this sort of version of guards ball where you don't have to hit it over the fence, okay, where you're going to be the aggressive team. We talk about how aggressive this team was on the base pass last year and how great the aggression led to them being successful, which I agree with. Aggressive baseball from an offensive standpoint, it does eventually lead you to wins more often than not. The Guardians haven't successfully stolen a base all year. They have not successfully stolen a base. I mean, can we put into perspective how wild that is? Most teams can walk through and say, yeah, stolen bases are pretty easy here. Like, Fernando Tatis has five of them on the year. You usually have something done. Once we've gotten through six games and you don't have one, it's like something is odd. Something is off. And it's not that the team just can't hit like they could yesterday. They had eight hits. They had runners on base today. They just can't snag a bag. They just can't. It is something that through six games right now has plagued them. So again, as I sit here and I look at this offense, it really needs to wake up at some point. And it's early, and I can live with that, and we're going to at some point. This team's not going to continue to win half the games that they lose. I don't think that this team's going to be that terrible. They're going to have parts where they wake up and they look more like they did in the Royal Series than they did against the Padres. You played a really good Padres team, but it's also at the same time, I think it is concern of the bigger picture. We got beat off the long ball. The home run caused you a big problem in the series, and it's the same problem, the same issue that Guardians fans have been dealing with year after year, which is that the lineup does not possess the power that the top lineups in baseball possess. In fact, they don't possess the potential for power that any of those lineups possess. And home run hitters get paid, but there's definitely teams right now that have managed to find the home run hitters who aren't paying their guys, right? The Cincinnati Reds, good buddy Tito Francona sitting over there, and I can draw to that team and say, that team can hit for power. Hitter-friendly ballpark with Progressive this year, that sort of falls in there too. They're in a hitter-friendly ballpark, but between finding Matt McClain, Ellie De La Cruz, Christian Encarnacion Strand, that team can hit the ball over the wall. And they did it by growing their own prospects through their own farm system and getting those guys to be able to develop into power hitters. The Guardians have continued to struggle to do that, and it now is going to continue to show itself, right? I was all for and am still all in on the idea that you traded Josh Naylor, but you do have to find a way to sort of recreate the 30 home runs that he could provide while also probably hitting like 225, 230, but you have to find the production, the runs getting on the board that he could provide you just a spark from anywhere. That's what I need the Guardians to eventually wake up and find out. And when you get back home, I expect the power to be down. It's going to be March, or I guess it's going to be April is the month that we're in now. It's going to be April. It's cold. The ball's not going to travel well. But when you're out west and it's 70 degrees and you're in San Diego, that's when the ball's got to travel. That's when the thing has to go over the wall and you have to begin to sort of build something up here and be able to look at yourself and say, today was not just a day that we lost because we couldn't put the bat to the ball and actually get it to sail and come up in key moments. This team has to come up in key moments. That's the bottom line. It can't be a continuous cycle of this team getting runners in scoring position and not capitalizing on it. 216-474-0092. The offense clearly an issue after today's loss, but I want to ask you the question, which has been more of a letdown for you? Has it been the offense or has it been the starting rotation? 216-474-0092 on X as well, at Volnick Jake, VULINEC Jake. So we get to our social media reactions on X, powered by Shine Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll talk to Dan Lobby of Cleveland.com. Ask him everything he could possibly imagine with the Browns right now under the sun. And we got a whole lot more to get to. 740, the station buzz. Get a grip at 9. We'll react to the Cavs when they wrap up. And as well, it may be somewhere in the 8 o'clock hour address. The fact that people are losing their mind because I'm not as high on Travis Hunter as you are. Right now, 216-474-0092. Which has been more of a letdown early on in the season? Has it been the Guardians' offense or the rotation? Hey, it's Jake Volnick with you guys right here until 11 on The Fan. A difficult spot to be is sort of your lead guy in the rotation now, especially early in the season where a lot of guys games-wise are lining up, where you're getting some of San Diego's best on a night where it would be, or on a day, I should say, where it would be you're getting Cleveland's best, but Bybee's food poisoning sort of throwing that off. But you got a great game out of Lively, his first start. His second start then, just not as great. Just not incredible. You have errors, steals of home, essentially, with the Schneeman throw and then the two-run homer from Merrill. So you give up four runs. But overall, the rotation early, it's sort of the fears that you would expect. It's the fears that you had coming into the year where Tanner Bibee looks great. Gavin Williams looks pretty good. And Ben Lively is a 50-50 starter. But you look at the last two games we played against the Padres. And again, a very talented lineup. We're one time through the rotation. I'm not trying to play overreaction. But the two things that might have scared you would have been a lack of power in this lineup and the rotation, both of which have come to show face very early. And the rotation, again, it was Bibee and Williams looking good. Lively, a 50-50 split now. But he got a rough go of things from Luis Ortiz in his first start as a Guardian, giving up seven runs. He got a rough start, I think, from Logan Allen last night, despite what Stephen Vogt said about him. And then I think you also see today, the back end of the Lively, the 50-50 split is sort of what you're scared of there, that you get a one good, one bad. But the Guardians are going to have to show up and show up big on days where it's not Bibee and it's not Gavin Williams, and that's the way they have to win games. You have a less proven lineup this year. And these two things, the great part is, if you fix one, it takes pressure off the other. But truthfully, they have to work in tandem. They have to go together. I mean, you look at the Mariners from last year. That team was hands down one of the strongest pitching staffs that you could look at. The rotation was practically unhittable. The offense was also practically unhittable. They couldn't put the bat to the ball, and they struggled because of that. You have to have, obviously, both in some capacity to win games. The Guardians right now are struggling to find either. Again, through a stretch of three here in San Diego. It's just, it's everything that you feared coming into the year, being like, oh, it's early and that's already here. It was just one good start. A Luis Ortiz good start might have put that to bed. A Logan Allen good start would have put that to bed. But it's every fear that you had sort of coming to fruition. And again, if you want to jump in, 216-474-0092. Let's go out to the phones. Let's talk to Sean is in Houston. What's going on, Sean?
I just don't understand what we're doing. I don't understand what we're doing with the heart of the lineup, the bottom of the lineup. You don't trade your second leading steel guy, your best defensive player, and then arguably your most clutch player, and I would even say the postseason and the regular season, for a 36-year-old Santana that, in my opinion, should just be a DH and a voice on the bench. And we have two power guys coming off the bench in Rodriguez and Noel. Why are they not starting? And we have two good defensive outfielders. Put your big bat in right field. And just, how have we not stolen a freaking base, man? We're young.
Yeah, that part is pretty damning.
I mean, so like, I'm just sitting here going, we hung our hats on stolen bases, putting pressure on opposing pitchers on all avenues, right? And then all of a sudden, our bullpen, which is good, but we have McKenzie, who I'd rather see McKenzie and Quintillo, whatever that guy's name is, freaking watch Ortiz right now, because Ortiz didn't even do good in the freaking spring training. So if he's not doing good in spring training, he's not doing good in the regular season, he's not just going to turn it around. Like, we're a hot mess. I don't know, outside of the top three guys in Kyle, Jose, and Steven, that are everyone else is completely unreliable. And your power guy, Noel, put him in to get in a rhythm. I don't care about Santana. I don't care about three. It's just, I don't get what we're doing. I don't see anything we did last year outside of our bullpen, who we can't even see because we don't even get to the bullpen for our guys to win the game. So right now, who are we? We cannot hang our hat on everything. We're making dumb defensive plays too. Yeah. So I just don't even know who we are anymore.
And John, I appreciate the call. I think some of it in what needs to maybe, like, Sean, I feel is a bit of maybe an overreaction off the start of the gate. And it's not a knock. I mean, you have the right to overreact to baseball. I think that's the beautiful thing about caring, is you can go day to day, and it's not fun if your emotions hang on a day in, day out basis on what happens at the Guardians, because you're going to be an up and down roller coaster for a majority of the year, because that's the way the baseball works. But I think there's valid questions. I think this is more of a stumble out of the gate than a what are we doing type of reaction. But still, I mean, Luis Ortiz, obviously, the struggle's there. I'm not going to make my reaction off of just one start that he makes. But I think that the Guardians have backed themselves into an odd corner. I mean, you go last year and you look at Jonkenzie Noel, right? You want to see Noel in the lineup more. Jonathan Rodriguez, by the way, is the 26th man. I was surprised they put him in favor of, I think it was Daniel Schneeman down at the bottom of the lineup today, because they wanted a righty-lefty split. I was fine with it because you were trying to capitalize, but he struck out on three pitches. But Noel, you look at the breakdowns, lefties versus righties, it goes from hitting 246 to 205 last year. That's a lot of the reason why you don't see him start on certain days, and they went out and got Nolan Jones and are trying to utilize them as back and forth and platoon them to see, okay, lefty this day, righty that day, let's get the right guy in the lineup and see if we can just benefit off of getting them to hit one-handed pitcher. But, I mean, if you're trying to get those guys in, yeah, right now there's not a ton of reliability in where the lineup's at. You don't have a ton of trust, and there are a lot of question marks. I think the stolen base thing is the most wild part of everything here. A team that prided themselves on defense last year, after then you trade away Andre Jimenez, it struggled defensively. He's not what you like to see, especially out of the second base spot today. But you pride yourself on, again, yeah, causing problems for pitchers, putting the pressure on, being able to steal bases. You haven't even gotten a stolen base this year with plenty of guys on base. And you've gotten caught a couple of times by Salvador Perez in their first series. It does feel, not that everything's going to, oh, there's an area of concern, there's an area of concern, where a lot of teams right now could probably pick out one area and be like, yeah, that could definitely be better, and that's causing us to lose. Even the Braves, who right now I believe are either 0-6 or 0-7 to start the year, you can look at it and be like, oh, we can't hit the baseball, right? That'll probably change. We hope so. And then we'll start to win games.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
But they also probably look at their team and say, well, the starting rotation's been decent. Bullpen has given us what we expected. I think their bullpen's actually pretty lackluster. But overall, yeah, there's areas that we can count on that are going to be pretty solid for us. Let's go back out to the phones. Mike is in Brecksville. What's going on, Mike?
Thank you very much for taking my phone call. The thing that really frustrates me more than anything being a fan, especially a baseball, last year we won over 90 games. The fans were going to the games. We were selling out. I mean, we put the money where our mouth was. We spent a lot of money down at that stadium. Instead of the Dolans taking that money and investing and getting more and more powerful hitting ball players and spend a little money, they regressed. They let Naylor walk and got very little for him. They brought in Santana again, who the last caller just said, I can see him being platooned. I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. They're expecting lightning in a bottle. They expect to get Nolan Jones or somebody off a crap heap and hope there's lightning in the bottle like they did last year with those two pitchers they picked up after Tommy John surgeries. I mean, when are the fans in this town going to wake up? And the honeymoon is over for Stephen Voigt. The honeymoon is over.
Yeah, I would think for
the comment on the Browns. Got one little comment on the Browns.
Okay, go ahead, Mike.
I think Dale Ryder's excellent at what he does, but he is super, super negative always about the Browns. I want the Browns to win every game too. I know they haven't done a whole lot since 99, but give it a break, man. Every time he comes on, he rips the Browns for everything. Really? Every team has draft picks that don't wash out. Every team has players that end up being a bust.
Mike, I think more of it.
$200 million bust.
I think more of it, yeah, is, and I appreciate the call. I think more of that is the negativity surrounding, I don't know, we just went 3-14. You have a quarterback that made $230 million that didn't work out. Like, it's pretty hard to be positive about the Browns at the moment, I would say. Darryl wasn't negative when they were going to the playoffs with Joe Flacco. Your reporting negativity, it sort of goes when the team goes negative. It makes a ton of sense. Carlos Santana, by the way, He's a fine hitter. Like, he played well today, actually. He came through, like I said, with the hit and runners in scoring position. He hit 2 for 3, ended up coming around to score as well as a walk. He was a Gold Glover last year, guys. Like, he's a very solid first baseman. Now, you know what you're getting from him at the plate, and it's not perfect, but he's fine. He's an older piece. Sure, he could be moved around. He'll be DH'd like he was today. Kyle Manzardo will get some reps at first. That's a proper move. You feel like you have something in Kyle Manzardo. You bring somebody in to sort of help him out, see what he can do defensively. And then it's a one-year rental on Santana, and you're basically using him as a half mentor, half you're actually going to produce a little bit for us. All right. Stephen Vogt, after today's 5-2 loss, had some comments. I'm going to play them for you here, and then we'll get to the station buzz coming your guys' way at 7:40 as well. But let's hear from Guardians manager Stephen Vogt after the game. It's like, yeah, no excuses. Could have done a lot better. They beat us onto LA to face the Angels. All right. We'll leave that there. We'll get to talking about the Browns when we bring in Dan Lobby. That's coming your way at 8 o'clock, but in about 5 minutes, the station buzz with Jake Vonick right here with the guys on Overtime on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.